And let's now turn our attention back to New Zealand and to look at some key determinants for high school academic success among LGBT students. A new study's found that teenagers who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual or transgender are more likely to achieve if they're at a supportive school where the teachers have high expectations of them. Dr. John Fennity from the University of Auckland's Faculty of Education and Social Work has led the research project, which focused on the academic achievement of LGBT students. It was recently published internationally in the Journal of Youth and Adolescence. Almost 700 LGBT teens responded to the canvas of 8,500 high school students, and that survey looked at the connection between the school experience and scholarly success. John Fennity is with us to explain the findings and, of course, the potential implications for schools. And also joining the conversation today, the principal of Kapiti College, Tony Kane, and a student representative from the school's Queer Straight Alliance, 17-year-old Alia Turner. Good morning, Ata Marie, to all of you.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Dr. Fennity, if I can start with you, the findings here, just talk us through it, because I guess for a lot of people this will seem logical. If people are in a good supportive environment, they will do well.
Absolutely. And that's really one of the things that we wanted to explore with this research. We wanted to see, is this also the case for LGBT students? And currently there's very little information about this globally. And this study gave us a chance to explore what's happening for these students, what's happening for sexual minority students, so those are students who are lesbian, gay and bisexual, and what's happening for gender minority students, those who are transgender and non-binary, because we know that both of those groups are distinct. We know that the majority of those young people thrive, but that significant disparities still exist and they persist. And that's also the case around academic achievement. So this study really gave us a chance to explore what's happening in Aotearoa New Zealand and what might some of the levers be that we can pull to reduce some of that inequality that exists.
This survey, I suppose, looking at in a slightly different way about student well-being, not just about achievement. Just talk us through how that came to be.
So one of the key, we've done a lot of research probably over the last couple of decades around well-being, but one thing that we haven't explored is achievement. And on the face of it, achievement doesn't seem to have a lot to do with well-being, but in fact, achievement is a significant correlate factor for future health and well-being. Of course, it often determines where people will end up in life, how they feel about themselves. And so ensuring that all students have that ability to kind of achieve to their best of their ability is quite critical for improving the well-being of LGBT young people, as well as all young people.
That umbrella term LGBT, sometimes LGBTQI+, you know, it can go longer. Is it almost too big a term when you're dealing with so many different variables?
That's a great question, and it's definitely something that we wanted to tease out in the study. And that's why in the study I'm talking about LGBT, because some of those other identities weren't included. But often what happens in research is that the research really brings all of these young people together, but we know that actually there are distinct differences between these two groups. And Tony and I were talking previously about many of the challenges that transgender and non-binary students face that exist in addition to those challenges for sexual minority young people. So, for instance, a transgender and non-binary person at school has to also deal with finding changing rooms that are appropriate, then finding a bathroom that's appropriate, finding teachers and students who will call them by their correct pronouns and their correct name. Those are things that sexual minority students don't necessarily have to face. Nonetheless, both groups will also face heteronormative bullying, so bullying on the basis of kind of strict ideas about gender identity. And so there are some similarities, but there are also differences.
So what can be done to actually implement some of the findings that you've discovered?
Well, the key finding that really came through was that when we actually talked to principals, because we also included principals in the study, and schools where the principal said that they had, to at least some extent, developed supportive structures for lesbian and gay students. So the question at the time didn't ask about transgender or non-binary or even bisexual students, but just those lesbian and gay students. When those principals said that there had been something done, at least to some extent, the lesbian, gay and bisexual students at those schools were 3.5 times more likely to achieve than those same students at schools where the principal couldn't say that or wasn't able to say that. Now, that means that school structures play a really key role in supporting these students to achieve. Interestingly, transgender and non-binary students at those same schools did not report increased achievement, and that really talks to the fact that a one-size-fits-all model is not going to be effective, that supportive structures are also going to be required that address particular needs for transgender and non-binary students, as well as lesbian, gay and bisexual students. And some of those things, you know, if I were to sort of name the three kind of things that where I would focus my effort on, that would be ensuring that the teachers have really strong professional learning and development, because one of the things the study also found was that where teachers have high expectations of their students, it makes a significant difference for their achievement. In fact, for sexual minority students, those who had teachers with high expectations of them, they were 14 times more likely to achieve than students who didn't have those high expectations. And that way eclipses what we see for their other colleagues. The other thing that is critical is enabling those teachers to explore how they can integrate LGB topics and themes and identities into the learning programs, into their curriculum, into their lessons. We know that is a key role in fostering that sense of belonging at school. And the other thing, of course, is the policy environment that exists around the school, ensuring that the policy environment enables all students to feel that sense of belonging. That means that there are uniforms that all students can wear that are appropriate to their gender identity, that there are clear policies around homophobic, transphobic bullying that exist, that there's a range of policies that enable these students to be accepted at school, so they can take a same-gender partner to the school ball. They're not dealing with significant negative peer aggression. One of the things that was really positive, actually, was we know that this group definitely experienced higher rates of weekly bullying. But when we controlled for those students who were bullied but said that they had a strong sense of belonging at school, they had teachers with high expectations, and they're at schools with those supportive structures, bullying made no difference to their achievement. And that's a really powerful driver for schools who struggle with bullying, because it's a complex topic.
Tony Kane, this seems like a good point to bring you in, principal of Kapiti College. I guess you've got a list there of things that John is suggesting that you do. What do you do, and how many of those do you tick off to encourage inclusivity at your college?
Well, I was kind of mentally ticking off the things that John was mentioning. Anyway, really, if I'm thinking about some of those things that he talked about. Our QSA group, our Queer Straight Alliance group, actually ran a PD session for teachers on what it was like for them and really how little it took to make a difference to their lives. That was quite an important thing, I think. I think the journey for us has been moving from tolerance to acceptance, and a lot of that is just ensuring that LGBTQ kids are visible in the school. Because tolerance is kind of a, this is what we do for you, it's sort of a patronising thing, really, isn't it?
It's quite a distinct difference, those two things, although some people perhaps would think they're quite close, but it does make a difference. And I guess, how do you make this genuine from the school, from the leadership, and not just window dressing?
Don't think, where I possibly disagree a fraction with John is I don't think this needs to be top driven in a school. I think that all the principals need to do is step out of the way, because I think the kids are already there. If you like, I went through a wee process of the QSA kids educating me and saying, come along to our meeting, this is what we need. Now, we would really like to go along and talk to the Board of Trustees about this. And that was things like gender-neutral uniform, and can we create some gender-neutral bathrooms, and can we be part of the design of that, because we think there are some things that are really important for us. And so on, down to the small but really important things, such as running a day of silence, having books in the library where their kids can see themselves, and so on. Probably Aelia's better to talk to about that, because she was part of that. She was part of that process of educating me.
Let's talk to her then. Aelia Turner from the Kapiti College Queer Straight Alliance. Tell us about this session that you ran.
Yeah, so we ran a couple PD sessions with teachers about a lot of different topics. A lot of it was explaining the importance of feeling comfortable at school and how things like uniform and bathrooms can really help with that, and how really when we don't have that support, it can be so hard to focus and affect every single part of our lives. And so it was a thing of not only explaining what terms meant and kind of like dictionary definitions, if you like, but relating that to real people and real stories and experiences, so that they could really see the effects of what not having it had.
So what's been some of the good stuff that's come from that conversation, from the session that you ran?
So much. So, yeah, like Tony said, we obviously have our gender-neutral bathrooms now. We have our gender-neutral uniforms, so anyone can wear any part of our uniform, which is so helpful. But even bigger than that, you know, teachers are way more willing to use different pronouns. They're more open to starting that conversation as well. It's not students having to lead it, but actually teachers opening up the space to say, I'm a safe person for you to be able to come to and tell me, so that we can create this space for you.
Is it also
really good?
Sorry, is it also, I guess, about creating a safe space for the teachers, for whom some of this might be pretty new, and they might be grappling with it a bit? And I guess people will sometimes make mistakes, for example, around pronouns.
Definitely, I think we've been really blessed at the school to have staff and teachers who are willing to learn, but also willing to get it wrong. And I think that's a really big misconception with learning about LGBT issues and even just people, is that there's this fear of, if I get it wrong, I'm going to be scrutinised for it, I'm going to be attacked for it. When really people just want to see that you're trying. They want to know that you're willing to give them the space to be who they are, and they'll work with you on that. And I think, as much as the QSA and LGBT students have been given space to be ourselves, we've really worked on being a group that gives people space to be themselves and to be wrong sometimes, or to not even be wrong, but to be trying and make mistakes.
And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's definitely okay, and that they can ask questions.
The gender-neutral bathrooms and the uniform, you've talked a little bit about that, but how much of an impact has that had on the students in the school?
Incredibly. I think more than a lot of people realise, what it's done is it's given people a safe space to go, and it's meant that it's also a statement of saying that the school is a place where you have that space, you know, where it's a place where you're not forced to be something you're not. It's a place where you're free to be who you are. And having these spaces has meant that people who would otherwise miss out on opportunities because they didn't feel like they had a place like that, now actually get to learn and be involved instead of constantly being worried and aware of not fitting in.
And I guess to bring it back to the school achievement, the research that was done by Dr. John Fennity, when people are able to see themselves in books or when they're seen that they are accepted in their school environment, what change can that bring about, that approach, for the academic achievement that people can have?
I think it gives more space for people to focus on it. You know, if you're in a place where you don't feel safe, that's all you can focus on. All you can think of is, you know, has someone found out? Am I being too obvious? Have I done something? Have I said anything? You know, checking constantly, you know, how do I approach this person and that person? What is my body language doing? And so much of your energy is used on focusing on yourself and being so hyper-aware of your surroundings that actually there's no room for anything else. There's no room for actual education. There's no room for focus on subjects or anything like that because you're so constantly worried about being safe because as people, that's what we do. Whereas having these things has been a statement of this is a place where you don't have to do that. You don't have to spend your energy doing that because other people are looking out for you, because people are learning to understand, because actually even if you come out like that, even if you are known to be who you really are, whatever that may be, you're not going to be attacked for it. And that leaves room for you to put energy towards good things.
Thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Alia Turner there from Capity College's Queer Straight Alliance. We also spoke to the principal, Tony Kane, and also to Dr. John Fennity, who was explaining the findings and implications of his research.